All right. Can you hear me though now, my elder?
Yes, I loud and clearly.
Ah, better. Well, I do apologize for that line. I'm not sure what's happening with that line. Well, let us then continue with our discussion. We today going to be studying the gifts of the Spirit, and we continue to talk on the Holy Spirit with a focus today on this distinction made in Scripture between the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. They're often referred to interchangeably, but they're actually not. In fact, it looks like they're not the same thing. And so we want to check with you, my elder, what is the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit?
Yeah, thanks, my elder. And you're quite right. Someone may say maybe it's not a matter of salvation, but you know the Bible makes it categoric that it's two conversations.
Mm-hmm.
However, as much as it may be two conversations, there are differences. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, so we go back to yesterday's conversation around the fact that you know the Spirit lives within us.
Yeah.
Since our bodies are the temple of the Lord. So there is that component. So what we, I think, first need to accomplish again, a consistent theme in the Bible from Genesis, as we read, we spoke about Genesis 1:26, where the Godhead or the triune God is creating man to say, let us make man in our own image. And the other consistent theme, again, is looking at the fact that God operates or manifests himself in his different forms, if we may. However, there seems to be this unity between God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We also see it at the inauguration of the ministry of Christ, where Christ was being baptized by John the Baptist, where we hear the voice of God saying, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Jesus himself was there, and we see the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. Right? I'm going somewhere with this.
Okay.
Right? And we get to also Matthew, where this is Matthew 6, where the disciples say, Jesus teaches how to pray. So one of the important things that you then find in that model of prayer, which we normally call the Lord's Prayer, is the theme of community, right? So when you pray, then Jesus says, when you pray, you know, go to your closet and say, our Father, not my Father, right? Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. That will be done as it has. Then it gets to a part where you say, now, give us, not give me this day, you know. And it says, our daily bread, not my daily bread. So this context then shows us, even when Jesus sends his disciples, he says this is 70, and then he sends them two by two. When Jesus goes to pray, he leaves the other disciples. He takes at the Mount of Transfiguration, he takes the other three. So we get this sense of community. Now, when you have the Holy Spirit living in you, we are called not to be islands, but to a sense of community. Now, what happens in this community? When you go through the book of 1 Corinthians 12, this is now where we get a breakdown of what makes up a church. So there's an analogy of the body of Christ having different members. And that analogy then, Paul goes on to then say that we are then given different gifts by the Spirit. Others is preaching, others is teaching, others is prophesying, others is interpretation. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are given to us so that we can contribute to each other's well-being. I think simply put, That is what the gifts of the Spirit are.
Mm.
They are then used, it's what we use to benefit others. And it goes to the description of a blessing. A blessing is not fully a blessing if you are using it to benefit yourself. The blessing that you are given is then used to benefit the whole body. So the eye, if the function of the eye is to benefit the whole body,
yeah.
The function of the finger. So each one of us is then put in this, the responsibility is for us to use the gifts of the Spirit to then fulfill the mission of the Spirit, because we are called to not just into non-existence, but we are called to be co-laborers
yep.
with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And these fruits of the Spirit are what then help us to be able to serve one another. Going back to the example we gave of Acts chapter 2, where the disciples were in one room, they were sharing, there was unity. And no one claimed anything to belong to them, even if they contributed it. So again, that's another symbolic example of this unity, that when we are then called to be part of God's family, our responsibility is to then pray to God to reveal to us what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that have been given to us, so that we can then use them for the advancement of the gospel, which is not only preaching, but also acts of kindness.
Mm.
Then on the other hand is the fruit, and specifically being in singular form,
mm-hmm.
not in plural form,
yeah,
because
yeah.
that is very important,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And actually this dawned to me when one of the pastors helped us to actually in this exercise, because you come across a lot of people that say, hey, you know, I don't know what is my spiritual gift, right? And then we went to the book of Galatians to then read what are these fruits of the Spirit. Then we actually found that there is this singular form of Galatians 5 from verse 22 to 23 of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness. What you tend to find is that someone who's got love, they are forbearing. They've got kindness,
mm-hmm.
goodness, faithfulness. So what you tend to find is that it's like the tree or the fruit of the tree of life, you know, that bears different, it's one tree, but it bears different fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So the fruit of the Spirit is not something that we pursue to have, but a fruit is something that emanates from within, from someone who has the Holy Spirit. It's things that are activated by the Holy Spirit. And that's then the difference. So that even when we then, you know, use the gifts of the Spirit, we then use them through love, through forbearance, through kindness. Going back to the initial point to say the contexts are different, but there's a relation. Because again, if we do things grudgingly, it then does not align to the fruit of the Holy of the Spirit. So
yeah.
I think initially, my elder, that's just a simple way of how we interpret the two.
Interesting, quite interesting. Now, can anyone and everyone receive spiritual gift? Like, is it open to just anybody, everybody?
Yeah, so this goes back to the conversation around Joel 2:28, where God says in the last days, and we believe we are living in the last days, looking at what's captured in Matthew 24,
mm-hmm.
what will happen just before the coming of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no category there that says, you know, it will be the Sabbath keepers, you know, or the Christians. So if I take that crude and raw as it is, just basing it on that verse, the Holy Spirit can fall on anyone. Since Jesus died for all and salvation is for all and for anyone, right? However, I believe there is a part for us to play. I'm thinking of this verse that says darkness and light cannot coexist. So there is a part for us to play. And I'm not talking about making sure that we are sinless. But it's around a part for us to play in terms of praying to God to ask him to say, number one, please reveal to me what my spiritual gifts are. And the good thing about it is that spiritual gifts are not for pastors, you know, going back to, you know, and it's not for someone who has read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I think we made reference. I was trying to find those particular examples that we made reference to yesterday in terms of the disciples praying for the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is accessible to everyone. Because the Holy Spirit is God. I think we must remember that as well, to say it's not a special entity for special people who return tithe and, you know, who give offering, you know, who are perfect. But the Holy Spirit is accessible, and God is accessible to everyone who calls upon him. And I think that's what John 3:16 fundamentally also teaches us. You know, he loved the old, that so whoever believes in him. So therefore, even accessing the Holy Spirit of God is open to whoever, you know, who believes and call upon his name.
So I talk about the Holy Spirit. Are you referring to the spiritual gifts?
So even because the spiritual gifts are not independent of the Holy Spirit.
I see.
So I don't think it's possible, because I think that's why they are called the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. They are activated by the Holy Spirit in us. And I'm thinking, you know, when I was trying to think of this, is that we can pursue perhaps love, joy, peace. But when you look at these things, it's things that should emanate from what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Because when I'm showing love to someone because I'm trying to prove that I love them, I believe that could be, you know, not completely loving them, because love emanates from within. It is activated by the Holy Spirit. So our desire and our aim should be praying to God to activate the Holy Spirit within us, so that we can therefore to plant the seed of the Holy Spirit, so that when the Holy Spirit seed germinates, then these are the fruits that we see, which is the love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when you look at these things, these are things that for us, by our own power, without the Holy Spirit, it's difficult, because we are born into sin. Hence, the need for us to pray for God to activate or to plant the Holy Spirit within our lives.
Lastly, would you say there is one that is important than the other? Now I'm talking about between the gifts and the fruit.
So I think, because I think even when we talk about even the fruit themselves or the gifts themselves, you know, I think in Corinthians, Paul says, you know, none is better than the other who has this gift, before you actually compare the two texts. So because of the fact that both emanate, so the gift of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit come from the Spirit, therefore I would not think that one is greater than the other, because they coexist. The fact that if I'm a teacher, and if my teaching is a gift of the Spirit, I then do it with love. You know, I do it with kindness and goodness. It actually reminds me of what, you know, in corporate, we used to be measured on. You know, you'll be measured on what? What have you done? Which would be the company objectives, which would count 50% from, you know, the weighting. And then there is the value side of things. You know, and funny enough, one of the values was stewardship, which was easy for me as an Adventist to understand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because what's get measured is not only what you do, but how you do it. You know, have you acted in respect in achieving those objectives? So coming then back to us in this context to say, when I then I am one who I think others are administrators as one of the fruits of this, I mean, the gifts of the Spirit. But in my administration, am I doing it out of love? Am I doing it with peace, with forbearance and kindness? So therefore, these two are not in competition with each other. So none is greater than the other, but they actually complement each other. But one is the act, and the other one is the motive behind what I do, which is then the fruit of the Spirit.
Ah, beautiful. Well, my brother, I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. Quite enlightening, I must say, this conversation, and a lot of knowledge we have been able to glean from this particular conversation. Thank you so much for your time. Blessings to you, and I hope that you have a great evening.
Thank you, my elder. Thank you. Blessings to you and your family, too.
Sure, thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.